Now, a unity task force put together by former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders is out with its policy recommendations for the Democratic Party's presumptive nominee. The group was assembled in May with different committees focused on climate change, criminal justice, health care, immigration, the economy, and education. The task force's 110 pages of policy ideas aren't official, but could put pressure on likely nominee Joe Biden. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What issues do you want to see presidential candidates talking about over the next few months? What will sway your vote? What specific things do you want to hear about? Healthcare, COVID-19, economic recovery, the environment, you name it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Happy to be with you, Rob.
Well, I want to talk about this process of this unity group here, this kind of high-profile effort to say, hey, people from the Senator Sanders camp and the Vice President Biden camp coming together, hashing out some policy ideas. Why is this important for the Democratic Party to do?
Well, I think that what we've seen, you know, historically, if you look back at the Democrats, this goes back decades and decades, where you have a more liberal or progressive wing, and then you have a more moderate wing. And depending on which wing's preferred candidate gets the presidential nomination, let's say if we're talking about presidential politics, what you find is that there are attempts to incorporate ideas from the other wing of the party, and at the same time, there are demands from the other wing of the party to have their ideas included. And so what this task force did was really come together in a much more formalized way than I think we've seen in the past to look at what some of those policy divides are on some of the key issues that most Democrats would identify as their key issues, and then try to come out with a document that brought the two groups together in a way that would ideally, from the party's perspective, make both sides happy.
There's been some speculation that, okay, is this going to move Biden, perceived as a moderate, further to the left? But on some key areas, it's not Medicare for all recommended here. It's a public option, like was discarded very early in the Obamacare negotiations. There's environmental targets and climate change targets, but not Green New Deal. When it comes to that center versus left continuum, how do you see this all shaking out?
You know, it's interesting because the two things you referenced, Medicare for All and Green New Deal, were two very important. I was going to call them buzzwords, but I don't want to call them buzzwords. But they were two very important ideas that were, you know, put out there by the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And so the absence of those terms and some of the core principles that they embody, I think it stands out to people, absolutely, because those are things that were talked about quite a bit during the nomination phase of the campaign. And so, as you said, what we're seeing, if we think about healthcare, is not Medicare for all, but instead this idea of the public option, which has been something that, you know, Biden has talked about previously and what he committed to during the nomination phase. There is a broader role for Medicare. The age to enroll in Medicare would be lowered. So there were some concessions in that regard. If we think about the Green New Deal and the fact that that itself wasn't included in its entirety, there are some pretty bold policies recommended in there in regard to climate change. So, for example, setting a national goal of net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 for all new buildings. So that's a pretty substantial thing to put out there. I think that where Biden is moving to the left most considerably would be on some of the economic policies that were put forward and that he further spoke about in a speech yesterday in regard to ideas about job security and other things related to investments in infrastructure and things like that. So that's where he's trying to, move along the mantle, I guess, from FDR and those who have taken it up from that perspective. And that's where I think we saw the furthest move to the left.
And that economic policy you mentioned also calls for, you know, putting more of American investment into American-produced products, so government, federal spending trying to guarantee that it goes to American manufacturers. Some people have read that as kind of an economic populist message, trying to draw away some key voters in some key states, manufacturing states like Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Do you read it that way?
Well, I do. And I also would remind people that if we think back to the Democratic Party 30, 40 years ago, you know, they were the party of Made in America. And they came along on free trade and things like that. They were brought along on those policies by the Republicans. And so it's not necessarily something new. I think this idea of supporting American workers and American jobs has always been key to the Democrats' agenda, going back again to the New Deal.
Talking to Susan Johnson, political scientist at UW-Whitewater, looking at this unity platform brought together by Biden and Bernie Sanders supporters, and more generally, policy issues in this 2020 presidential race. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What issues do you want to see debated? What policies do you want to see either candidate bring forward? 800-642-1234. Susan, I saw this New York Times Siena College poll. They asked Bernie Sanders supporters, they support Biden 87-4 over Trump, Elizabeth Warren supporters 96-0 over Trump, which you'd expect. You know, they're all theoretically Democrats, but there was that concern from 2016 among Democrats that, you know, some Bernie Sanders supporters, you know, voted for someone other than Hillary Clinton or didn't vote. Does it look different to you this time around?
It does. And I will say, I remember I was on with you in the winter as the nomination process was coming to an end, and we took calls, and many of the callers were Sanders supporters who said that they would never vote for Joe Biden. So I think that part of the reason why this task force was put together is to, from the Democratic Party's perspective, hopefully get some of those people who were adamant that they would never support Biden to see that Biden has reached out to Sanders, and that Sanders supporters in political office and the like are having a say in what the Biden campaign is going to be speaking about as we get going in the fall campaign. That didn't happen in 2016. It was a much more acrimonious, I would say, relationship between Biden and Hillary Clinton, between Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and that carried on through the election. And I think it was really smart from the Democratic Party's perspective to push really hard early so that this, hopefully, from their perspective, would get resolved before the convention and before we get to the post-Labor Day push for the general election.
Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. We're talking about the recommendations of a Democratic Unity Task Force with progressives and moderates working on policy suggestions for the party's nominee. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You can join in about that, or more generally, what issues do you want to see on the table in this presidential race? What is going to swing your vote, if there's anything left that could swing your vote at this point? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, looking at the work of a Democratic Unity Task Force and wider policy issues in the presidential race. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you lean toward the Democratic side, do you think the party should go big on ideas like Medicare for All and a Green New Deal? Or do you like more moderate compromise positions? If you're looking at this from the Republican side, what do you want to hear from President Trump as he kicks his side of the campaign into high gear? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Steve is with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been watching the Democratic Party for a long time now, and they really have moved so far to the left that I don't even know if Barack Obama in 2008, based on the platform that he ran on, would have been the nominee. So I do wonder who these moderates are. It appears a moderate is someone who just doesn't want to move as fast. So they all want Medicare for all. It's just that the moderates say, we can't get there yet. We need a stepping stone to get there. So who are the moderates?
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. And Susan, first of all, Steve's premise, the Democratic Party moving to the left.
You know, I would say that clearly what we're seeing is that there is a very vocal activist wing of the party that has received a lot of attention and is clearly working very hard to move the party to the left. There's no doubt about it. What we saw with the nomination, you know, however, is that the party coalesced around the more moderate candidate. And we can debate, you know, what moderate means as far as a Democrat, because that can be a moving target, just like conservative. I mean, we could flip this around and talk about conservatives, and many would argue that there's no such thing as a moderate conservative anymore either. So what I would say is that when we looked at who the voters were and who the voters chose as their nominee, they chose the candidate that was less liberal, let's say, or less to the left, and that's been fairly consistent. Hillary Clinton would have been more moderate than Bernie Sanders, if we're thinking about it, you know, relatively speaking. And then again, Barack Obama was more, people don't necessarily see it this way, but the fact is that he was more, Hillary Clinton in 2008 was more liberal than he was.
Thanks a lot for that call, Steve, at 800-642-1234. I want to turn to the Republican side of things now. Is the process different for an incumbent who has close to 4 years now behind them? Is it a matter of them saying, here are my priorities for the next 4 years, or trying to make a case for their accomplishments from the last 4 years?
Generally speaking, when you're running for reelection, you're doing a couple of different things. You're not as much focusing on new ideas, but instead building on the accomplishments that you've already had over your first 4 years. I would say that we're in such a unique environment with COVID-19 and how much of a focus that has become, rightly so. And it's difficult, I would say, for both the Republicans and the Democrats to get attention paid to things that are not necessarily related to, I would say, COVID-19. And then within the last 6 weeks or so, the issues regarding racial justice and policies like that.
Let's bring on another caller now. Jerry is with us in Iron Mountain, Michigan. Jerry, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Jerry?
I want to talk about the Medicare for All. I think the Democrats, even though I support Medicare for All, Democrats need to go a little bit light on that and just push for possibly, you know, the option like you were talking about. If more people like myself in their 50s, late 50s, had access to affordable health care, they could retire early and give these good-paying jobs to the younger people instead of them having minimum-wage-type service jobs. Also, I want to comment on Republicans. Back in the day, the Republicans had this contract for America, or contract with America, that they ran on quite a few years ago, and I don't know whatever happened to that. I think it kind of fell on its face. Maybe someone could do some research on that.
Jerry, thanks a lot for the call. Not going to dig into that now, but can we talk a little more about what came out of this Unity platform? Again, not Medicare for All, but that public option. Again, this is not official Biden platform here, but what kind of things are they kicking around here, Susan?
So, sure. There would be a public option, which would be administered by Medicare, and it would allow people who are not eligible for Medicaid, okay, and anyone else who wants a public option from the Affordable Care Act exchanges. And if anyone was currently getting their health insurance from employers, they could also be eligible as well. And, I mean, it's basically the idea that the government is providing you with these different options as far as getting your health care, as opposed to private insurance or as opposed to being limited to what an employer provides if that employer provides health insurance for its employees. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the age to enroll in Medicare would be lowered from 65 to 60. So, I mean, you know, Jerry makes a really good point about the fact that there are a lot of people out there who are financially comfortable and would retire if not for the issue of employer-based health care. And the only way for many people to get affordable, I'm putting affordable in quotes, but affordable health care is if they stay employed. And potentially, if there was something that was more of a public option, or if the age to enroll in Medicare was lowered to 60, I really think Jerry's right that you would see a lot of people leave the workforce, open up jobs for younger people, and move on to their retirement. And so I think that that's something that Jerry's right about.
Thanks for that call, Jerry. Susan, we just have a minute left. Sorry to the other callers remaining on the line, but are you hopeful that we can have good, solid, substantive policy debates over the course of the next few months?
Not really, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you, Rob, and
sure.
Your listeners. We are so focused on, like I said, COVID-19 and the, just how negative all of politics has become of late. I think that this is a very good first step, but I think that we'll have to see to what extent the president wants to have these kinds of policy conversations as well.
Susan, thanks as always for joining us today.
Happy to do it. Have a good weekend, Rob.
You too. That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. She joined us for a look at the presidential race, including recommendations from a Democratic Unity Task Force aimed at policy ideas for the party's likely presumptive nominee, Joe Biden.